turn tonight to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We began looking at the life of Abraham several weeks ago. He was 75 years of age when God commanded him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. How old is he now in this chapter, chapter 22? Well, we know that he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. How old is he now? Well, Matthew Poole said that he was now 125. We don't know for sure how old Isaac was, but he wasn't what we would think of as a young boy. I've seen ages from 5 to 37, the different writers, from 5 to age 37. I know this, and we will see this as we go through the chapter, he was old enough to carry a very heavy load. And so I would say he was at least an older teenager, at least. We will go through the history in this chapter, and then I want to point out some very obvious types between this and God Almighty giving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his people. First, God's command in verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I would remind us again, because we've seen this earlier, that when we read the word tempt, we must understand when it refers to God, it means to test, because God cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempteth he any man to evil. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, we read Abraham by faith when he was tried. So God did tempt, God did prove, God did assay, or God did examine or try the faith of Abraham. God would prove Abraham's faith by this test, but not only his faith, he proves his love and he proves his obedience. God's word in verse 2, we are told in the Hebrew, is expressed much more emphatically than the way it is translated or can be translated into English. Matthew Henry gave this translation, Take now that son of thine, that only son of thine, whom thou lovest, Isaac, emphatically telling him which son, because remember he had two sons. He had the son by the bondmaid, Ishmael, though he had sent him away at this time, but he also had this son of promise, Isaac. Take now thy son, the only son of promise, the only son by Sarah. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Over the last few weeks in looking at the life of Abraham, we have seen him in many trials. This is not the first. As long as God's people, as long as you and I are pilgrims in this world, we may expect them. We would be kidding ourselves. We would be deceiving ourselves. We would be foolish to think if we are God's children that we are going to go through this life, through this world that is an enemy to God and not have trials and temptations, difficulties. You know, the Apostle Peter in his first letter, he said this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't think it strange, Peter says. that you're going through trials and temptations and difficulties, don't think it's strange. God has appointed every trial in your life, every trial in my life that we go through, from the time that the Lord begins the work of grace in our hearts to the time He calls us home, every single trial is appointed by God. It doesn't happen by accident. They don't spring up out of the ground. They're part of God's all providence, His providence that rules over all. And God knows when they're going to come and how long they're going to last, when they're going to end. God knows that. You know, in the letter of Philippians, Paul wrote this, and it sounds strange to many people, I imagine. He said, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him." In other words, faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's given unto you to believe on Him, but not only is that given to you, but also, he said, but also to suffer for His name's sake. So the first thing we see here is God's command in verses 1 and 2. Second, Abraham's obedience, beginning with verse 3 through verse 6. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went unto the place of which God had told them. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering." Now, a burnt offering, before I read the rest of that verse, just remember, a burnt offering consumes the entire sacrifice. All of it is consumed. So it's going to take a large amount of wood to sacrifice an animal or whatever God had told Abraham to sacrifice his son. So Abraham, that's the reason I said we know Isaac was not a small child, because Abraham laid the wood upon him. He carries the wood up the mountain. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together." Matthew Henry, in his commentary, gives six objections that might have occurred to Abraham not to obey God's command. And I'm going to give us these six, but abbreviated, and not give you the scriptural references, although there is a scripture reference for each one of these. Six objections that might have occurred to Abraham not to obey God's command. Number one, it seemed against God's law, against the law of murder. "Surely I must have misunderstood. Surely I didn't get this right. God is commanding me to take my son and to offer him as a burnt offering." Well, that's against His command of murder, to kill. Second, another objection, how could this consist with His natural affection to His son? How can I do this? I love my son, and God knows I love my son. God told me I love my son. How can I do this? This is against natural affection. This is a person naturally has affection for their offspring, and this is against natural affection. This, I must have got this wrong. I must have misunderstood what the Lord told me to do. Number three, God gave him no reason for it. When He commanded him to send Ishmael away, He did tell him why. And that was, he shall not be heir with an heir, that is, with Isaac. He gave him a reason for sending Ishmael away. God did, gave him a reason. That was difficult, wasn't it? And we saw that when he was commanded to send Ishmael away. That was difficult. But God did give him a reason for doing it. But now God tells him to offer up his son Isaac and gives him no reason. Just do it. Just do it. And four, how could this be consistent with his promise? God has promised that in Isaac, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And now I'm commanded to sacrifice Isaac. And number five, how can I ever look Sarah in the face again? This child that we've waited for and prayed for, this child of promise, and now I'm taking him and offering him up as a burnt sacrifice. How can I come home and tell my wife that I have sacrificed our beloved son? And number six, what would the pagans, Abraham lived in the midst of pagans, amidst of heathens who didn't know God. He was a stranger. And they all looked at him, no doubt, in his religion, his worshiping of the true God. What are they going to think? When they hear that I've offered my son as a sacrifice, what kind of a God is that? We know the pagans did offer their children in sacrifice. We know that later. We read that. And the children of Israel even began to copy the pagans in doing that. But God said, it never entered into my heart, into my mind to command such a thing as that. Abraham had God's word and God's word alone to lean upon. That's what he had. That's all he had. If he had listened to carnal reason, he had many reasons why this couldn't have been right, why this couldn't have been God's word to him, but he had God's word. He had heard God speak to him before. He had obeyed God, and we've already pointed out, and again, once again, we see how prompt he is in his obedience. The scripture says in verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning. God maybe spoke to him in the night season, maybe in a vision or dream. I don't know how he spoke to him, but we see how prompt Abraham was in obeying God's command. He takes everything that's necessary, everything we're going to need for this offering, he wanted to make sure he had. He didn't want to forget the fire. Maybe when I get there, if I don't have the fire, I won't be able to do it. No, he prepares everything. Maybe forget his knife. I believe I've read this is the first time, you know, we've seen several firsts as we've looked at the life of Abraham here in the book of Genesis. And I believe this is the first time that we have the word fire. And I know it's the first time we have the word knife given to us in the scripture. But he prepares everything. He had the wood, he had the fire, and he had his knife to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering. And as I said earlier, one reason we know that Isaac wasn't a small child is because Abraham laid the load of the wood upon him. And it is significant. It's significant if you notice in verse 4, then on the third day, this happened. In Hebrews, we read, Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham received him in a figure from the dead. In other words, Abraham, when God commanded him to offer up his son, in his heart, he sacrificed Isaac. He offered up his son Isaac. When Isaac was bound on the altar on the third day, but when Abraham, by faith, offered him up, then on the third day, the scripture says, which no doubt pictures to us a figure of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had offered him up when God gave the command. In his heart, Abraham had slain his son. he had obeyed God. Now, third, I want us to look at Isaac's question and Abraham's answer in verses 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. He knew, Isaac did, because Abraham worshiped the Lord. He knew that to worship God, a bloody sacrifice is all important. It's not just maybe, it is absolutely important. It is essential. Where is the lamb? What a question. What a question for each one of us tonight. Where is the lamb? Every time that we come here to worship God, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Is the lamb of God foremost in our hearts? The songs that we sing and the prayers that we pray and the message that we hear, where's the lamb? Do we depend upon him to make our worship acceptable? We're here tonight and we've sung and we're going to sing a hymn at the conclusion, the Lord willing. We're hearing his word. But where's the lamb? For God to accept our worship, our praise, there must be the lamb. It must be the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every preacher should ask himself this question. Where's the Lamb in this message? Every message I bring, where is the Lamb? And if the Lamb is not here, if the Lamb is not in the message, it's probably a message that should never have been preached. Because the scripture says that Christ is all and in all. I have a plaque. One of the men of our church had this made, and it's here on the front of the, on the bottom of the pulpit here. You can't see it, but I can see it. And it says, Preach Christ. Preach Christ. And that's what I try to do. That's what I want to do. And that's what we're talking about when we ask that question. Where is the Lamb? Where's the Lamb? Someone told me recently that they went to their pastor and said, I'm going to leave the church. And the pastor said, Well, why? Why are you going to leave? And he said, Well, because you don't preach Christ. You don't preach Christ. And a preacher said, Well, now, don't leave. I'll preach more Christ. I just started laughing when I heard that. For a preacher to be told he doesn't preach Christ and then him say, Well, I'll preach Christ more. How ridiculous is that? What kind of a preacher is that? It's not a preacher that God's called, obviously. Because when God calls a man to preach, he gives him the message, and the message is Christ. When you're preaching from the Old Testament, it's Christ. Preaching from the New Testament, it's Christ. No matter the Psalms, the prophets, no matter where we're preaching from, it's Christ. It's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Notice Abraham's answer. That's Isaac's question. Where is the Lamb? But notice Abraham's answer. It may be understood in one of these two ways. Either way is right. Either way is good. Abraham maybe meant God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Maybe understood like that. Where's the lamb? My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Or, number two, it may be understood like this, God will provide himself a lamb, himself the lamb. And that, of course, is what we know that he did. All right, fourth, God provided the substitute, verse 9 through 13. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham comes to the place that God had directed him to, Mount Moriah. And incidentally, it was on these mountains, that the temple was built, the Temple of Solomon, where the Lord Jesus Christ came and ministered when he came into this world in the flesh. This is the fourth altar that I found. This is the fourth altar that Abraham has made. And I just imagine this altar, he took his time about building this altar, knowing who was going to be sacrificed on this altar. But he built the altar. Can you imagine that? Can any parent here tonight imagine building an altar upon which you would offer one of your children? Of course not. Abraham did. Abraham was not weak in faith. He laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac. Here's another thing to think about Isaac as a young man. He willingly submitted to his father. His father bound him, and he was laid upon the altar. He allowed himself to be bound. And Abraham, the scripture says, he raised his knife. He raised his knife because to this kind of a sacrifice, he would have cut his throat. That's how he would have offered this burnt offering, first of all. And he raised his knife, but then he heard a voice from heaven. Abraham, Abraham. Oh, my. He said, Here am I. I wonder if this is not what the Lord Jesus Christ had reference to when he was talking to those Jews in John chapter 8. And he told them, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw and was glad. Amen. Now the fifth thing, God called a second time from heaven. Verses 14 through 19. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, To this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. You know, it's important to see that when they came to the place that Abraham and his son went up the mountain. He told his two servants to stay. And that reminds us that the Lord on the cross, he was doing business, as we say, with the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ had to do something for the Father first before he could do something for us. He had to do something for the Father first. That is, God's justice had to be satisfied. But God called a second time from heaven, the scripture says. The Lord provided the burnt offering, and Abraham affixed this to God's name, Jehovah. He knew this name before, but now he affixes this Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, or the Lord will see to it. And that's a promise to every one of us here tonight. You know, we ought to remember this. He is our Jehovah Jireh. Just as he's our Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness, he is our Lord who will see to it, who will provide. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we have a God, he is our Lord who will meet our every need. Just like he met the need of Abraham here in providing this ram to be offered in the stead of his son. But notice that Abraham is now told in this second call from heaven of the Lord's oath. His oath. The Lord said, by myself have I sworn. In Hebrews chapter 6, we are told that this oath that the Lord tells Abraham that he had taken is the second of two immutable things that God has given to everyone who flees unto Christ, to everyone who flees for refuge, for salvation, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have these two immutable things. They're never going to change. First of all, God's word, God's promise, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is no other, no Savior. And not only his word, but he's given us his oath. And because there's none above God, he had to swear by himself so that you and I, that we might have a strong consolation, that we might have a strong assurance. Can God lie? Of course not. God say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Did he? Did he say, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out? He did, didn't he? Whosoever heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Do we have God's word? Yes, we have God's word. And my friends, we also have his oath that we might have strong consolation. These things have I written unto thee that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might know that you have eternal life. The first was his word, and now his oath. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we know that seed, singular, is Christ. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the nations, all the kindreds, all the languages of the earth. He has his people and calls them and saves them. Now, just a few minutes. Let's look at some types here. First of all, when God commanded Abraham to give his son Isaac, we are reminded that God gave his only begotten son. Now, God has other sons by adoption, but he only has one son who is his only begotten son. That is, who is one with him. He's God. And yet he gave him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Abraham was commanded to give his son, but we know that God did not allow him to give his son. But God, our Father, he did give his son. He gave him to save his people. A second thing we see is that Isaac carried the wood. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he carried that wooden cross to Mount Calvary. When the wood was laid upon Isaac, it may also serve as a type of God laying the sins of his people upon Christ. You know, the scripture says he made to meet on him the sins of us all. Your sins, my sins, those of us who trust in Christ tonight, our sins were imputed, they were charged to Christ, and he became liable, he became guilty. And that's the reason he said, my iniquities are more than the hairs of my head in that psalm. They really became his by imputation. And he felt the weight of them as he went to the cross in our stead and in our place, just as that ram was offered in the stead of Isaac. So Christ was offered in the stead of all of God's Isaacs, all of his promised sons. Another thing that comes to my mind is Isaac gave himself willingly. He laid down and willingly was bound on that altar. So God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave himself willingly. He said, no man taketh my life from me. You know, he said there he could call 12 legions of angels. How then could man be saved? No, he willingly gave himself for his sheep. And Abraham received his son in a figure from the dead on the third day. So Christ, our blessed Lord, his body lay in that tomb from Friday to Sunday morning, 3 days according to the way the Jews calculate days. And yes, on that third day, early in the morning, they went out, his disciples, they went out fully expecting his body to be there. They had the ointments. They went out there to anoint his body. But the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. On that third day, what a blessed day that is. And then the substitute was offered and Isaac was delivered. So again, all of God's Isaacs, Abraham's spiritual seed, we are all delivered through the substitute being punished in our stead. Someone also pointed out in types that this ram that was caught in the thicket, you know, we think of a thicket as briars and wood and whatever, might also picture the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was crowned with the crown of thorns when he suffered on the cross. He was delivered up to death, crowned with thorns. Well, I pray the Lord will bless this word to you and I tonight. We may go away thankful, appreciative of our blessed Savior and God's word and every promise that he has given to us. Peter said, exceeding great and precious promises. May the Lord bless his word. Let's sing a hymn before we're dismissed.